Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, Every Nation. My goodness, I miss you. I look forward to seeing you very, very soon. We've got some exciting stuff coming up through this summer. We're going to be gathering in some creative ways, all to give glory to Jesus and build and grow together. This Sunday, June 6th, we're gonna be in Central Park. I look forward to seeing you there. And my wife, Ailsa, is gonna bring some very important announcements to us as a community right after this message. So please stay tuned to hear all the latest here at Every Nation. We are now in our second week of a series called Living It, from the book of Acts. And this series is all about not just being hearers of the word, not just hearing what God is speaking to us from our scripture, not just learning new concepts, not just getting new thoughts in us, but actually doing something different. James 1:22 says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And that is what this series is all about. As we look at an early church, Jesus has just risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come. An early church that's figuring all this stuff out and is living out the mission of Jesus for Jerusalem, Judea, and the surrounding area. Today's message is coming to us from Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. But before we get into that, if you got a Bible, open it up. I double dog dare you. Open up that paper Bible. Go get it. If there's dust on it, it's all right. There's no judgment here. Blow it off. Let's open this thing up. We're going to dive into God's word. Before we do it, though, I've got a question for you. What is the boldest thing that you've done with God lately? What's the boldest thing that you've done with God lately? Friends, if we've got the Holy Spirit in our hearts, like last week we talked about being home for the Holy Spirit. We talked about unity and holiness and the Spirit of God. If you're a dwelling place for God, God's living inside of you and you're giving him access to your life, then I would imagine that he's going to start to lead you to do some things that you wouldn't normally naturally do. What's the boldest thing that you've done with God lately? If you've got a story, drop it in the comments. I'd love to hear it. Just, hey, I gave away some money. Hey, I shared my faith. Hey, I moved nation, or I settled in a new place. I started a new job. I began a new nonprofit. I started reaching out to my neighbors. I had somebody over for dinner that I wouldn't normally do. What's the boldest thing that God has led you to do lately? As we follow and walk with Jesus, he's gonna lead us to do some pretty wild things. And I can't wait to hear the stories that God is gonna bring through this community. I've got a couple of stories that I've been hearing about lately. Can't wait to share them with you through the course of this message here today. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, and he asked for alms of those who were entering the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word that you're about to bring. God, I pray that we would not just be hearers, but doers of this word. That, Lord, we would learn from what Peter and John did here. God, we would walk in this miraculous power that they're about to express. I kind of just gave away the punchline. You know what's about to come. They speak to this man. They see silver and gold. We've got none of that, but what we have, we're going to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And the man who's lame from birth gets up, had these physical ailments since birth. He gets up, begins walking, leaping, praising God. It's a story that I sang about as a kid, right? He was walking and leaping and praising God. This is the story. And as I read this, it reminds me of some of the things that are happening in our community, that there is miracle working power happening right here in Every Nation, New York City, right in the heart of our city, right in the heart of this modern age where we like to think that the supernatural or the spiritual or the unseen is so far off. No, the spiritual is invading the natural. And it's the power of God is right here with us. This week I had a conversation with a good friend of mine and a member of our congregation named Evie, and I'd like to just play a bit of that conversation for you here.
And the thunder going at the same time.
Hey Nathan, you see my plans right now, give me a second.
No worries.
I have a tripod and I'm trying to set up. Hello.
Right. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm doing great. It was like over a month ago that Felix went into the hospital. And just what was that like for you? What were the doctors saying at that time?
When he first came in, they told me that he was type 2 diabetes. His blood sugar was, I actually got the right number, 1,400.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness.
His blood
sugar was at 1,400. The doctor said that when he came in, he was at 1,000% death mortality. The doctor said, you know, get ready to make your arrangements because if you don't, people are going to make it. There was a moment when the doctor called me, things are getting worse. We need to put him in a mechanical ventilation, whatever, you know, to get the medication in. And right then and there, Nathan, my heart fell to the floor. I got nauseous. I literally had, like, it was just horrible. I was crying and crying and crying. I was just, literally the devil was telling me he's going to die and it's your fault. He's gonna die. He's mine. He's gonna die. And he kept saying that, and I started to believe it. And at that moment, I kid you not, I heard someone said, "Shh, be silent." And when I heard that, I was just like, "Who's there? What's going on?" And literally, God said, "Get up, go into the bathroom, take a shower, and get ready, because you're going to fight."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. So wow. I did what I did, and I just started fighting. The next day, I go to do some errands before I get to the hospital. The doctor calls me, and I'm like, oh, please, God, let this be good. Please come, let this be good news. And the doctor said, he was like, I have some news for you. Your husband's doing better. And I literally, Nathan, when that man told me that, I really fell to the ground on my knees. I was in the middle of housing in the management office, and then just fell to the knees and started praying and started worshiping God. People literally look up outside to say, is this girl crazy? What's she doing? And I just didn't care. I just did not care who was around me. I just started worshiping and praying and just crying like a baby. I left to go to the hospital. I walk in and he wakes up to see me.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, whoa. Well, the glory of God isn't happening for all. It's a testimony. It was, this is to me, the only thing I can relate to this is something biblical. Like, this is something you read in the Bible. This is something that you read in the Bible. And I was just like, this is happening right in front of my face. Like, how can you not say that God's not real after all this?
Off of all of this, off of the scripture that we're looking at today, off of the story that we've heard from Evie, what I'd like to call my message today is walking in the miraculous. Walking in the miraculous. And the first thing that I notice in this scripture is what I'd like to call us to. It's this, point one, consistency and chaos. Consistency and chaos. You see, they were walking in, Peter and John were walking in at the hour of prayer. They were going into the temple to do what? To pray. At what hour? At the hour that you're supposed to pray at. They had orchestrated their day and their life to have these rhythms, to consistently check in with God, consistently build their life in with God. And this is a foundation of our faith, that we are going to build on disciplines and on foundations and on principles day in, day out, when we feel like it, when we don't feel like it, we're going to come and connect with God. That's our job, day in, day out, just like the disciples, we're going to diligently build the foundations of our life. At the same time, this man was coming out at rush hour. He wanted to get at the crowds to receive alms. And the people were going to give him alms. Why? Because that's what they did. They lived a generous life. So this man was there diligently. The disciples were there diligently. And for us, we're called to build foundations of diligence. We're going to be faithful to God. He's been faithful to us. We're going to be faithful to our church community. We're going to be faithful in our generosity. We're going to be faithful with our time and our talent and our treasure, and faithful in prayer and reading the word. We're going to build a diligent life of discipline. Now that's kind of sounds boring to some of us, and that sounds really exciting to others. Some of us are naturally drawn to that consistency. We love consistency. We love the predictability. Others of us find that really boring. Whether you find it boring or exciting, we're all called to have a life of diligence, of consistency, of daily rhythms and offices where we are checking in with God. Not even just checking in, spending time with Him, spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, absolutely every day. Weekly, we're called to gather together. Weekly, we are called to be together, to worship God. And as we do that, we're building something here on earth that reflects heaven. This service, this online service, is at times it's the best that we've got. And I understand that at times this is going to be as good as we can do. But as we move into a season of building something together physically, I encourage you to start to clear your Sundays, to set aside diligent, faithful time for the Lord and for His community, and to reach those who have yet to be in our church, to invite, to gather, to bring, because God is going to do something through our diligence. God is going to do something through our consistency. But God doesn't just want consistency. God doesn't just want religious action. God doesn't just want the same old, same old. He also is going to call us to cut through. Upon that foundation of consistency, God is going to bring fresh fire. God is going to bring fresh anointing. God is going to bring new things. God's word is at times, behold, I do a new thing. In the consistency, God is also going to bring a chaos. And for some of us, the chaos is what we live for. We live for the new thing. We live for the unexpected. We live for what's going to happen next. And I'd like for you to write in the comments right now, are you a consistency person or are you a chaos person? I love all of y'all. We need the church, the body of Christ needs the consistency people and the chaos people. We need the people that are there all the time, just faithful as can be, and the people that keep stirring it up and bringing in somebody new and doing something new and different. And here, Peter and John, they see this guy and they gaze at him. And I feel like God begins to speak to them and says, now's the moment. Now's the moment. I'm interrupting your prayer time so that you can start to do the thing that I'm calling you to do. I'm interrupting the foundations. I'm interrupting the regular flow of your rhythm to life. And now I'm going to do something through it. Now that you've built a foundation of knowing me, now that you've built a foundation of consistency, now that you've built your regular rhythms and habits, I'm going to empower that fireplace, as it were, with a fresh fire. The fireplace and the fire are so important. The fireplace represents our consistency, our orthodox teaching, and the fire represents a brand new word from God. We need both of those things. On their consistency comes in this fresh wind of chaos, and they break through what this man was normally doing. He had done rehearsed the same routine for years, being carried out there at rush hour, asking for alms at the time of prayer when people are at their most pious. In the midst of that, they had to interrupt his flow as well. And they said, stop looking at the ground. Look at us. Give us your attention. And they broke through the consistency and brought him into a brand new, fresh moment. I've got a challenge for you right now. Give God your yes. Give God your yes. He, as we invite God into our lives in a fresh way, as we become a home for the Holy Spirit, he's going to start speaking to you. As you walk through the course of your regularly scheduled life, don't do it by yourself. Do it in the presence of God. You are a home for the Holy Spirit when you go into your work, when you go into your high school, when you go into your college campus. You're a home for the Holy Spirit when you go onto that Zoom call. Go in with God. And right now, just offer up your life freshly. Say, God, I give you my yes. When you speak, I will obey. What you say, I'm going to do it. God, I give you my yes. God, I give you my all. Write God a blank check of your life. Just say, God, here's my life. You fill in the time and the place and the number. You fill it in, God. You fill it in. I give you my life. I give you my all. God's going to speak to you. God's going to tell you some new things to do. They're going to be bold. They're going to be chaotic. They are going to bring you into some fresh experiences with him. But isn't that what we live for? To experience God, to walk with him, to experience that fire, that mission, that adventure. I believe some of us have been lacking that. God wants to stir that up in us. I want to inspire you with a quote from a great scholar of our age. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. With that, got my second point. Get some from Jesus. Verse 6-8, and Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, where did he get that? I believe he got that from Jesus. What does he have? He's got a miracle working power, a fresh word from God. Get some from Jesus. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking, leaping, praising God. As humans, we are experiencing a lot of different problems. And one of them that I learned about recently is that our physical natural jaws are growing smaller. And this is leading to a number of issues. Snoring, all of our orthodontic issues, our airway passages are growing smaller, and our wisdom teeth are being impacted, sleep apnea, a whole host of issues. And they're believing, scientists, are, as they study this, are finding that this is not as much genetic as it is environmental, that because our food is soft and easy to chew and easy to swallow and full of nutrition, we don't need to chew our food as long. And the stress of chewing food for lengths of time is not there, so our jaws are not growing to be big and powerful and develop the bone mass that they once had. And this has happened over the last 150, 200 years or so, and even since the Industrial Revolution. This is a recent de-evolution of the human jaw. We've lost the ability to chew. And because of that, there's all sorts of knock-on health implications. How wild is that? And friends, I believe that as much as that is true in the natural, that there's a truth there in the spirit. That Christians, sometimes we have lost the ability to chew. What do I mean by that? Throughout scripture, particularly in the New Testament, there's this analogy of food. And Paul often will write to churches and say, I wasn't able to give you meat. You aren't ready for that. Instead, I gave you baby food. I gave you milk instead. And there's Christians that now say, I go to church to be fed. I go to church to be fed. And I want to critique that for just a minute. If you need to be fed, what does that make you? If you can't find food, what does that say about you? Friends, we need to get some from Jesus. We need to chew on his word and daily be refreshed in his spirit and by time with him. Yeah, that kind of references back to my first point about consistency. But here's what I want is not just consistency, but consistently getting some from Jesus. Consistently spending time in his presence until there's a miraculous working power that has been stirred up on the inside of you. Yes, that means overcoming depression. Yes, that means overcoming obstacles. Excuse me. Depression meaning mindsets that we have. Yes, that means getting a new vision through our eyes. Yes, that means getting new confession coming out of our mouth. Yes, that means overcoming the malaise of life. Friends, it's time to wake up and press in until you press through. This has been a difficult season because the weekly worship experience is not there for us. I'd encourage you, press through. Build a temple in your own home. Find a way to break through. Find a way to get to our service on June 6th. Find a way to get in a connect group. Meet with people. Build something together. It's time that we know God, grow together, discover our purpose, make a difference. Fight a way through. But this is between you and Jesus. Friends, if we're going to walk in miraculous working power, I can't give that to you. I can't. It's not my job. It's not my place. That comes straight from heaven. Nathan works no miracles. It's only by the power of God that I can walk in any miracles myself. And if you want to, you're going to have to get some from Jesus. You're going to have to build a lifestyle that welcomes the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to spend time with Jesus, chew on his word, develop strong jaws together, because we're going to eat real meat, the meat of God's word together. Vegetarians are welcome too. Eating meat of God's word together. There has been a culture in Christianity where we want an Instagram spirituality. It's got to look nice on my grid. It's got to look nice on this on my feed, but it's going to bring no lasting change to my life. The kingdom of God does not come in sound bites. It comes in a lifestyle, when our lives start to reflect and match the life of Jesus. It's going to affect all of our lives. It's for you to start to get some from Jesus. I was speaking with Tina Aquino recently, and she has been a faithful prayer warrior on our prayer lines. She and her husband, Tim, also lead our marriage and family ministry. We love them, and they are such a gift to our church and to our city. But she praying on the prayer lines almost daily is getting some from Jesus. And a couple of weeks ago, we were praying and spent some time really interceding for us to walk in evangelism. For us to not just be in our own little bubbles as we go through the day, but to walk with purpose and intention to reach and pray and share the gospel with others. And that day, she was speaking to a friend of hers on the phone, a friend who had had a nasty fall, broken her collarbone, broken her rib, and God was leading her to pray for her. She prayed for her friend, and then God tapped her on the shoulder and said, "Now share the gospel." She shared the gospel. And her friend received the good news of Jesus Christ. And then later that night, she was on the phone with 20 of her family members, and God tapped her on the shoulder again and said, "Share the gospel." And she shared the gospel with our friend, or her family that spans the world, and some of them don't know Jesus yet, and she was able to share the gospel in that moment with her family. And I reached out to her this week and said, "Hey, remind me about this story." And she said, "Nathan, God did it again. Just last night, I shared the gospel with a friend of mine from college, and they received Jesus again." Friends, when we listen to God and we've got that miracle working power of God on the inside of us, people are going to come to know him. But this is where you've got to step in. You've got to get some from Jesus. Here's my challenge. Set up your lifestyle every day, your lifestyle in such a way, every day before you pick up your phone, before you read your media, before you set your scroll, get yourself in the life of God so that you've got a miracle working power of God inside of you that's ready to come out rather than you just absorbing everything from the world back in. Fill yourself with the life of Jesus so that he can flow out of you. Thank you, Tina, for your incredible example of that. Friends, number three, boldness before brains. Boldness before brains. If we're gonna walk in the miracle, if we're gonna walk in the miraculous, we're gonna have boldness before we have brains. What do I mean by that? We're gonna be bold before we fully understand. It's not all about understanding. It's not about more knowledge. It's about walking in the knowledge that you have. Here we go, Acts 4. After all of this, Peter and John are sharing the gospel and they draw a crowd, and then this happens. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Who's this crew? It's the same guys that we saw who set up a kangaroo court, falsely tried Jesus, and made sure that he was crucified. This is the crew that crucified Jesus. Think about that. How scared must they have been to see these guys rolling back up in the temple courts? Their turf. And they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. This Jesus is the stone upon that was rejected by you, the builders, and which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And now, when they saw this boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they had nothing to say in opposition. Friends, doesn't matter how educated we are, how eloquent we are, when we walk in what God has given us, the boldness and the power of God, we make room for him to move. We make room for him to move. Where does this boldness, where does this extraordinary confidence come from? First, it obviously comes from the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had this fresh fire of God. The infinite God was resting in and upon them and moving through them. But it wasn't just that. It was also, secondly, they'd seen and been witness to the power of Jesus resurrecting from the dead. And they continually proclaimed everything that they did was in the name of Jesus, this powerful name that rose from the dead and has set all other things, all authority in heaven and earth was given to him. All things were set under his feet. So they witnessed and ministered in the name of Jesus. The third thing that was deeply ministered into the life of Peter. Remember Peter, the night that Jesus was betrayed, ran, hid. He was questioned by a servant girl over a charcoal fire while Jesus was being tried in the temple courts. And he said, "I've never seen him. I don't know this guy." What changed and transformed him? I believe that it had something to do with the forgiveness that Jesus offered him. In John chapter 21, we see this threefold example of Jesus uniquely ministering to Peter deep forgiveness, deep love. It was personalized. The first was this miraculous haul of fish. After fishing all night, he came up with this miraculous haul of fish. The second one was Jesus ministering to him over a charcoal fire. The third one was Jesus calling him by a name that he had not called him by except from the first encounter that they had together. Simon, son of John. These three instances take Peter back to these moments of calling and to these moments of sin and pain. And Jesus wants to take you back. He wants to unwind the clock, rewind the clock. He wants to bring you back to the moments of your initial calling and your first love. He wants to bring you back to the moments where you know you truly failed and stepped out. And God wants to heal and minister to you at those places. He wants to call you by name once again. He wants to minister to you uniquely and speak to you freshly. He loves you. He loves you. Whether you've blown it or you feel like you've really been walking with him all the way, he loves you. He doesn't love you because of what you've done or how you've performed. He loves you because of who he is. And that's the nature of grace, and it's not found anywhere else. Friends, God loves you like nobody else does. He loves you like your friends and your family can't. And when we receive his forgiveness, and when we see him rewind the clock and say, "I love you like the first day I called you. I can't love you any more than that day. I love you even when you deny me over the fire. I love you in the midst of the storm. I love you right now where you are. I love you before you did anything for me. When you were just a baby, I loved you, I called you, I set you apart. When we get that incredible love and forgiveness power of God in us, we will be unstoppable. Stop living for the love of the world. Stop living for the identity that it gives us. Stop living for all of the other things that distract us and call us away from our first true love. Jesus loves you. He forgives you. And we should be, and are called to be, confident in this love. This is where boldness comes from knowing our forgiveness and the love of God, from seeing that resurrection power of Jesus and the authority that comes in his name, and walking in and by the Holy Spirit. As God starts to speak to you this week, step out and do it. Obey. Leave the results to him. I don't know what will happen when God tells you to share the gospel with your colleagues. I don't know what's going to happen when he asks you, or when you tell all your classmates that you're a Christian. I don't know. I can't make any promises or any guarantees, but here's what I do know. Obeying God and receiving his favor and walking in his love is better than anything that those things could have given you. Step out. Follow God. Walk in it. Live in it. Let's live it together. Let's be bold in the name of Jesus. If you need a miracle right now, I want to pray in agreement with you. Extend your faith with me. Text our number. Say, pray for him. Let us know that you're praying with Pastor Nathan to have a miracle. Let us know what miracle you're believing for. I'm going to pray right now, though, because I believe that God is working today and that he is healing and he is restoring. God, I thank you for your power that is upon us as believers. God, I thank you that we can walk in the miraculous. God, I thank you that you're not done with us yet. And today we activate our faith to walk in more. Lord, I lift up those who are suffering with diseases right now. Lord, I pray that your healing hand would be upon them. Thank you, Jesus, that it is by your stripes that we are healed. Today, we claim what you have purchased for us by your stripes and by your blood. Lord, I pray that you'd release miracle-working power over our congregation and all who hear this prayer right now in Jesus' name. Heal, restore, and make new those who are suffering with diseases and chronic illnesses inside of their body. For those who are looking to restore lost relationships with loved ones, God, I pray that this week there would be a miraculous turnaround in somebody's relationship. God, that out of the blue, there's gonna be an open door. Father, thank you for the restorative power of God. That you're turning hearts of fathers, children, and children to the fathers. Lord, I pray that we as your church and as your body would walk in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.